Well, it is good to see you this morning, church. I hope and pray that you are all well. I know that the last few days have been somewhat chaotic for each and every one of us, and we appreciate your patience with us. This morning, we want to do something a little bit different. Our president and our denomination have called for a National Day of Prayer. And so we felt very led this morning as our leaders and everything to be able to come together as the body of Christ and to pray and to simply pray and to hear from God's word today. And so I've got four of our deacons, if you guys will come and kind of make your way up here. As they come, before we have this time of prayer, I want to remind you, guys, if y'all just come up and line up behind me or wherever you want to, if you are not receiving our church emails, if you're not receiving, if you're not following on Facebook or Instagram or emails or the mass text or whatever right now, this would be a really good time for you to be able to do that. We have a lot of uncertainty about what the weeks and maybe months, we hope that's not the case, are going to hold for us as a church and how we're able to get together and worship and to minister to each other. But the best way for us to get word out about changes of events and time schedules and things like that is through those venues. And I realize some of you say, well, I don't do any of that stuff. The other thing is we want you to be able to contact each other, especially our small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, different things like that. If you get information, make sure that your folks know what's going on. And please don't hesitate to call us. Stay in touch with your folks. And if there's anything in the church that we can do to minister someone, this is a great time for us to be the hands and feet of Christ to minister to each other. We want to know about that. Also, we want to make sure that as we as a church family move forward kind of in these uncertain times, there are going to be some times when we've kind of designated as non-essential meetings, so to speak. I've asked some of our worship leaders or some of our ministry leaders have asked me today, hey, should we call this off? Should we call that off? I'm really going to leave that up to those ministry leaders, but my recommendation would be right now, if it's non-essential, that right now until we find out what's going on with this virus and everything like that, that we just meet for essential meetings, that we are able to come together as the body of Christ from when we can and worship, but for things that are non-essential, that we would postpone those things, which leads me to tell you that for tonight and this coming Wednesday night, we will not be meeting. So tonight and Wednesday night, we will not be meeting. We'll see what next week holds. We don't know what next week is going to hold. So stay in touch with us, and we will stay in touch with you. We've been asked if we would, as a church family, to pray about some certain things, and these guys represent four avenues of prayer, but we're surely not limited to that. But what we want to do this morning is just enter into a season of prayer, and these brothers are going to lead us. I'm going to start us with a word and then turn it over to them, and they will just come and lead us in certain areas. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this body of Christ, and thank you for the hope that you give to each and every one of us. And we pray, Father God, right now that as a body of Christ gathered together, that you would be with us, that your presence would fill this place, and Lord, that we would know that you're with us. Lord, in times of uncertainty, the greatest thing we can have is your presence. And so this morning we come before you lifting up needs, specific needs in our country, specific needs in our community, Lord, concerning the situation that we have with this virus. Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayers this morning, and that you would be glorified through them, and that we as your people right now, as across this country, literally thousands of churches are gathering to worship you and to pray before you and lift these special needs up to you, God, that you would not only hear our prayers, but be glorified through your answer for them, Lord. So help us, I pray, to bring our hearts before you as these brothers lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, we worship you this morning. You are magnificent, you are holy, you are mighty, you're creator of all things. You hold all of creation in the palm of your hand. This virus is no surprise, it's no worry of yours. You knew this was going to happen even before you began things. God, we know you are sovereign over all things, and so we humbly come before you, God. We plead on behalf of us and for the people around the world that you will remove this virus from us, that you will deliver us from the curse of this illness, that you will deliver us, especially those who are susceptible to it, those who have weakened immune systems, or those who are more likely to contract it and perhaps suffer loss due to it. Those in countries that don't have the medical care that we have, and those that don't have ways of avoiding it, God, I pray that you will protect them, and that you will save them from this virus. God, I pray that in your sovereignty, you will deliver us, that you will be magnified through it, that you will accomplish what only you can do. You can take something that has confounded the wisest of people, made them look as if they're imbeciles. And God, you can do mighty things through this, and we pray that you will perform a miracle. Remove this virus. Deliver us. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for allowing us to be able to gather in your name. Lord, as Romans 13 says, all of our leaders are placed in their positions because of you. You put them there. Lord, I pray for those leaders today. I pray for everyone from our church leader to the town and city, the state, the country. Lord, all of our worldly leaders, I pray for them. I thank you for putting them in their place where they are today to be able to minister to this disease, to try to make the best decisions possible for it. Lord, I pray for wisdom for them. I pray for your guidance, Lord. Lord, I pray for Donald Trump. Lord, he is considered the most powerful man in the world right now, and the decisions he makes will impact the world. I just pray for your wisdom that he can make godly decisions to be able to lead our country, to be able to lead the world, and to combat this situation we're in. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name.
Lord, as we look at Psalms 90:12, the scripture says, to teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. Lord, we know that you are in the beginning and you are in the end. The book of Genesis talks about that. The book of Revelations talks about that. You are the beginning. You are the end. And Lord, there's nothing happening today that has caught you off guard. You are still on your throne. And Jesus said that all these things must come to pass. Lord, we see it in Scripture. We're living it in Scripture now. May we understand that we have a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel like never before. People, Lord, all around us are seeing, Lord, that life is fragile, that life can be taken, and our time here on this earth is just temporal. But we have an opportunity, Lord, to share the good news, because we know that you win in the end, Lord. We know that nothing can, is not without you knowing about it. So, Lord, as we pray now, we ask that opportunities come in our workplace, our home, our family, that let them see, Lord, us, Christ in our life, that we may share that to them, that they would see for the first time maybe the love that you have for them. We may do that.
Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I just want to take a minute and pray for all of our missionaries here and all around the world this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you'll just keep your hand on all the missionaries, like I said, in America and all around the world, Lord, who's gone and
to do what you've called them to do, Lord. I pray that you'll just keep them and their families healthy, Lord, where they can just keep their focus on you, Lord, and spreading your word, Lord. Especially the countries that's got limited medical facilities, Lord. I pray that you'll just protect them, Lord. I know sometimes we have to go through bad things to get to the good, Lord. I just pray that each one of these ministries is just fueled, Lord, by all this, Lord, and just spreading the word is that much easier for them, Lord, everywhere, all around the world. I pray, even here in America, Lord, I pray that just opens people's eyes and just see how quickly stuff can change, Lord, that they just need to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And I just pray for all this, Lord, and we just keep our eyes on you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Well, if you have a copy of your Bible, God's Word, turn with me to Psalms 27 this morning, church. Psalms 27. I'm not like some pastors that I know that, you know, they about 30 minutes before they step up to take the pulpit, get a word from the Lord, and I try to be prepared much more in advance. But the message that I had prepared for this morning is not the message we're going to be looking at. Yesterday afternoon, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, God changed my heart. And with all the things that are going on this morning, I felt like we really needed to take a look at God's Word and be encouraged this morning. So for you note takers and all that stuff, there'll be no PowerPoint and all that good stuff. You get the day off. I will ask Tony, brother, if you can, would you put that slide off of our PowerPoint that has our Instagram and Facebook, all that little information. If you could just put that up there for a while. Some of you might want that information. You can just put it up there and leave it, brother. It's not going to make any difference whatsoever. It's an unusual time, isn't it? It is. It is an unusual time. I spent most of the afternoon yesterday talking on the phone and texting with pastors, our director of missions, watching news reports and all sorts of things. Churches trying to decide, should we have church, should we not have church, all those different things. I spoke with our deacons this morning. I said, guys, we need to make some decisions. And guaranteed, any way we make a decision on that, it's going to be criticized. You know, either we were too cautious or weren't cautious enough and all those. We don't know. As we were talking about in our small group this morning, we're swimming through uncharted territory right now, guys. So we need to be prayerful. We need to use good common sense. We need to take steps, if we can, to protect our folks and things like that. But what we should not do is live in fear. We should not live in fear, folks. We really shouldn't. And here you say, well, Brother Webb, you don't know how bad this might get. I don't know. But the key is that we do know who is in control. And we put our faith and our trust in Him. And so this morning, I just really wanted to be encouraged and challenged from the Word this morning about having a strong faith during times of uncertainty. Psalms 27, we're just going to read this a little bit at a time, guys, and walk through this text this morning and ask God to encourage us. Verse 1 says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? I think it would be an understatement to say that fear has grabbed us as a people, not just here in this area, not just our country, but around the world. I remember some years back, I was pastoring down in Franklin County. It was my first church, and it was during the anthrax scare. Some of you remember that 100 years ago, right? And I had a little old man in my church, Brother Ray Emfinger. He said, preacher, I know how to scare everybody in our state. I said, how's that? He said, I just go home, put a little flower in an envelope, and mail it to the Capitol. And everybody would have been scared. And he's right. We were all scared to death. This isn't the first time we've had something like this or whatever. But the reality of it is this. What causes us to have fear and panic and pandemonium, all those different things, guys, it's the unknown, right? We just don't know. Our healthcare professionals and our leaders and things are making the best decisions they can with the information that they have. But the problem is the information is very limited. We just don't know. And so that lack of knowledge brings about a fear in us. When we don't know which way to turn, when we don't know how things are going to work out, when we don't know if we're going to be safe, if our loved ones are going to be safe, when we've got 1,000 other questions and absolutely no answers, it creates fear in us. We've all, I think everybody that I've talked to about this virus says, well, it must cause the worst case of diarrhea you've ever seen because everybody's buying toilet paper. And Louise informed me that the toilet paper was to make up for all the extra food and stuff we're stocking up on. So I don't know. I hadn't sorted it all out. And I told her, I said, well, we got magazines and newspapers. She said, well, you use that on an iPad nowadays, so that won't work anymore. So we can laugh, guys. It's okay. But here's the reality of it. It is the unknown, isn't it? It really is. But we as God's people really should not walk through life with fear. Now hear me clearly on this, church. God has not called us to stupidity. And for some of us, it comes very natural. And what I mean by that is we need to put some common sense practices into place. You know, if someone said they're just amazed at all the emphasis on washing our hands, that seemed like it would have been a common sense thing for us to be doing anyway. You know, washing our hands properly, using sanitizer, all those different things, limiting our exposure. We can take some common sense things that we can do that may be a little bit different. They may even be somewhat of an inconvenience for us, but we can do those things. But that doesn't mean we have to live in fear. It doesn't mean that we have to live in fear. My understanding, and it is about that much in an ocean of information out there, is that, praise God, it seems like that our children are not really that much impacted by this. They can be carriers of it, but they don't get the full-blown because of their weakened size and things like that. But they do pretty good. But our seniors can be very vulnerable to it. And so for you and I, we may be, well, if I get it, I get a runny nose, I get the flu, I stay home, I take some Thermoflu or whatever like that, and see what happens kind of deal. But for a senior, it could be lethal for them. We don't know. We just don't know. So we have to take, I have to take some precautions, not just for myself, but so that I don't become a carrier that passes it on to someone else. I'm just saying, guys, we need to use some common sense things. When they tell me they're shutting down Walmart, I'm fixing to get worried. But they're not doing that. They're not doing it. But that doesn't mean we don't need to use some good common sense. But we should not live in fear. And it can be fearful for us. It can be fearful for our children. They don't understand. We don't understand. But what we do know is that God is still in control. This verse tells us very plainly, the Lord is our light. He is our salvation. What do we have to be fearful about? The reality of it is today we're trusting in the same God that was in control yesterday, and the faith that gets us through today is going to be the same faith that will sustain us through tomorrow and this week and this month and this year and whatever comes. We're trusting in the same Lord today as we were before any of us ever heard the term coronavirus, and that's the reality of it. He is still on his throne. Verse 2, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. I shall be confident. No matter what we might face, we can do so without fear. Why? Because we know the one that holds in his hand everything that's going to happen tomorrow. And we can be confident of that. We can be assured of that. We can be very confident in his ability, even in our most stressful and uncertain situations, guys. God is still in control. He is able. Does that mean that everything's tiptoe through the tulips? Not necessarily. Does that mean that we shouldn't take normal precautions? We absolutely should. But the reality of it is this, is that God is in control. And we can trust in his ability to care for us and watch over us. He has the ability. The main thing that we need to be praying during this time is, Lord, how can you be glorified through this? How can the gospel go forward in this? How can we be the church, be the hands and feet of Christ, and minister to our community, and minister to our faith family? How can we most glorify Christ through this situation? Verse 4 and 5 tell us this, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, and in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And I think it's really important that we think about those two verses right there. And when I say that, guys, listen to me. Our God is not in a box. We love this place. I think it is important that we as the body of Christ gather together to worship and support each other and pray for each other and to be there for each other. But what the psalmist is saying here is simply this, that in my day of trouble, it is his presence that sustains me. It's his presence. God is not limited to this place. He goes with us. And the reality of it is this, there may be some times where we can't come here together, but that doesn't mean that God is not with us. We can still be gathered in his presence. In times of uncertainties, the greatest weapon that we can have against fear is the presence of Almighty God, his presence in us. It says in this verse, he conceals us, he hides us, he protects us, he lifts us up. And no matter what our situation might be, he is still with us. He's faithful and true, guys. We can depend on him. We can depend on him. In the worst day of our life, regardless of what that might look like in the past or in the future, because we are his, he is faithful. He is faithful to us. What a great God that we have. But he's not limited to space and time. When all about the world seems to be falling apart, when everything doesn't seem to make sense, when the walls are closing in around us, our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. His word is still true. It may be in this moment that some people put that faith to the test for the first time, and they come out of this thing on the other end saying, you know what? I have found through all this that God can be trusted, and he is faithful. That's what the text is telling us right here. We can meditate on him. We can strive and live in his presence, and he can hide us, conceal us, keep us safe. You know, I remember when our children were small, there were times when they got afraid. And they wanted their mom and dad around. They wanted their parents there to hold them and make them feel safe and secure. Well, there's times in life for every one of us when we feel unsafe, when we feel threatened or whatever that might be. And our Heavenly Father is there to wrap his arms around us, to minister to us, and to make us feel safe and secure. Even when the world around us is falling apart, he is steadfast and true, and we can count on that. Verse 6 tells us, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. One of the greatest things that we can do in our times of struggle, test, and uncertainty is just keep praising Jesus. Just keep praising him, man. Just keep singing his praises. Keep exalting him. Keep lifting him up. Because it's in these moments that we're simply praising. He's still worthy of our worship. He's still worthy of our praise and adoration, of all those things. He is still worthy regardless of the circumstances that we find him in. We can praise him through it all, guys. And we should. And we should. We need to be the voice of our God to a world that is searching for answers, that's hysterical. We need to have confidence and peace and praise for the one that we find those things in. How we praise him really says a lot about our faith. There will be many people in this moment that will say, where is your God? And we ought to be able to, with a big smile on our face, say, he's right here in my heart, and he's never failed me. He's never failed me. I want to tell you something, guys. It's in moments like this that the church gets to be the church, and we should. But can I also tell you, it's in moments like this that in some ways the church really can't help. If you're home isolated or whatever like that, we're going to do everything that we can. If you have loved ones, we're going to do everything we can to minister to our church and to our community. And one thing we need you to help us with is this, is to get the word out about that. If you know of someone in our church or whatever that needs them, they may be sick and can't get out. And they need someone to go to the grocery store for them or go to the drugstore for them or something like that. We can still minister to each other. We can still go and get those things and bring that to them or whatever like that. But we need to know about those things. Now's when we pull together. But the reality of it is, in times of uncertainty, guys, really, the Lord walks with us. He's the one who carries us, and he's still worthy of our worship and our praise. Hear, O Lord, in verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. One of the greatest things that we can do is to pray. Is to pray. You know what they're saying now, the biggest struggle out of all of this? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. There's no sports to watch. My goodness, they're showing three-year-old football games on TV. You know, there's no sports to watch, no baseball, no different stuff. And we just absolutely are forced to sit down and talk to each other. What shall we do? What if we spent some time in prayer? What if we gathered with our spouse and our family and prayed? There's a lot to pray over. These guys led us in prayer, and there's a lot to remind us about things to pray. We need to pray for our leaders in our country. We need to pray for the medical community who's working diligently to try to find answers and all those different things. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our leaders in our communities and pray for our churches. And we got so many different things we need to pray for. We need to pray for the vulnerable. We need to pray, as the guy said, there are countries around the world that are facing this, guys, and they do not have the capacity in any way, shape, form, or fashion to meet any of this. What you and I might go to the store and get some over-the-counter meds for, it may be lethal for somebody else in another country. We got a lot going on. We have a lot of missionaries that are out there in the field, and they're trying to share Jesus, but also trying to be protective for their families. We have missionaries here in the States that can't get back to their field, and we don't know when they'll be able to get back. We've got all sorts of things. We've got teams getting ready to leave this church to make a transition onto the mission field. We don't know if they're going to be able to go. We've got pastors from the UK getting ready to come over here next month. Right now, I don't think they're going to be able to come. There's a ton of things that we can be praying for. So prayer is the answer. That's the reason why the song says here, when I cried out my voice, you were gracious and you heard my prayer. When you said seek your face, that's exactly what I did. Oh Lord, I shall seek you. We need to be praying. There's a lot of things that we can do during this time to minister to each other, provide for each other, protect each other. You know, if I'm sick, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be here. Because I don't want, here's the thing, I'm not so concerned about me getting over it. I don't want to give it to someone who might not get over it. So we need to be wise about that thing. You know, we need to be smart about that. But the main thing that we can do is pray, pray. And one of the main things we can pray about is pray for those who don't know Christ to come to know Jesus. Let me tell you something, guys. There's a lot of folks that are facing this thing, and the fear that they have cannot be dispelled. You know why? They don't have Jesus to lean on. So we need to pray that lost people would be saved. God hears our prayers. He is not abandoning his people. So we need to seek his face in prayer, and the word says he will be found. Verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And I think that's a real important verse in this text. And here's the reason why. There may be times for some folks that the people that they depended on in this situation are not able to do what they thought they would be able to do for them. The psalmist felt like, you know, I had counted on mom and daddy, but they've forsaken me. They're not able to do that. They can't take care of me. And there may be times in our communities or whatever that the folks that we think are supposed to be taking care of us and all this stuff, they may not be able to. We don't know. That's one of the frightening things for us, I think. Isn't the government supposed to fix this? Remember when Katrina hit? You remember when that wall of 20-foot tall whatever came through New Orleans and some of the people saying, well, the government ought to fix this. Let me tell you something, guys. When a gallon of salt water weighs 8 pounds and you got a wall of it 30, 40 foot high and it's moving through, there ain't nobody government-wise that can fix that. What I'm saying is there may be times in this thing where the people that we depended on to watch over us, take care of us, protect us, they may not be able to. But I promise you this, God will be faithful. God will be faithful. Let's try to minister to each other. Let's try to be there for each other. Let's do all that we can for each other. But let's trust in the Lord. Let's trust in him. God is always able. He's always faithful. He is our stronghold, and he is our refuge. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Life is hard, guys. Life is hard. It's challenging at all times. And there are times when it can be overwhelming to us. But the foes, the enemies, the groups that may attack us, or the things that may feel like are coming against us. It may be a virus. It might be cancer. It may be financial problems. It may be relationship problems, all sorts of things. Those things can be so overwhelming for us. And if we're not careful, we get off God's path and get off down on a path somewhere else where we don't need to be, where we're vulnerable and alone. The way of the Lord is the answer. I believe that. He gave you life. He's got a purpose for your life. And He intends you to fulfill that. But the only way you can do that is to do it according to His Word. Do it according to His Word. Stay on the path where He is there with His presence. He will bless you. He was the one who will watch over you and be your security when all else fails. And these last couple of verses here are extremely important. I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Did you hear what he said? I would have despaired. I would have been stressed out. I would have been scared to death had it not been for my belief that the Lord would bring me goodness in the land of the living. Now let me tell you what he's saying. I not only put my trust in Him for eternity, but I believe God's able to take care of me now. Right here, right now. God can take care of me. He can meet my need, whatever that is, according to His will, according to His plan. He said, if it wasn't for Him, I would be scared to death. But because of Him, I have hope, and I have peace, and I have confidence. What does he say in verse 14? Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Something we don't do very good today is wait. We live in microwave society. We want to pop it in and pop it out, right? God, we want to say a 5-minute prayer, and we want you to do an eternity in all that 5 minutes right there. We want you to fix everything. Can I tell you something, guys? We need to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Search for Him. He will be found. Seek Him. He will hear our prayers. But wait on the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Be strong. When people ask you about this virus and all these different things, be strong. Oh, my Lord's got this. Now, I'm being wise and not doing foolish things or whatever, but my hope is not in the government being able to fix this. My hope is not in the medical community being able to eradicate it through some injection or whatever like that. So one of our wannabe politicians the other day on the news said, if he was in control, everybody would be tested, everybody would get a vaccination, and it wouldn't cost anybody anything. And they don't even have a vaccination to give. Right? Now, isn't that typical of a politician, so to speak? I say that to just say, guys, here's the deal. We need to pray for our political figures. Don't get me wrong, we should. But my hope is not in them. My hope is not in what happens at the White House or the Capitol or any of those different things. I am praying for them diligently because they're dealing with some stuff, guys, we couldn't even begin to dream or imagine. Most of us as pastors, I think about young pastors. We were talking about this in Sunday school. A lot of our young people don't remember Y2K. Remember when the world was going to come to an end? New Year's Day, 2000? You remember that? Everybody's freaking out. The banks are going to close. We're not going to be able to get our money. It's just the whole world is going to go haywire because the computers won't switch from 1999 to 2000. Panic and fear. Why? Because of the unknown. And what happened the next morning? The sun came up. The real sun is still on his throne. All is well. All is well. Guys, our God is able. When I say those things, I'm not trying to diminish the reality of the situation, but what I am trying to say is God is able. And we can be strong in our response to whatever's happening around us as long as we have Him in our hearts. The psalmist said, I would have despaired, I would have worried, I would have been fearful, I would have been scared to death had it not been for my faith in the Lord. But because of my faith in the Lord, we can be strong, we can take courage, and we can wait upon Him. Now here's our challenge. Do we have that faith in Him? Do we have that confidence and that peace? If we do, then I pray that the world around us would see it in our actions, in our words, how we respond and what we do, both on our Facebook feeds and on community conversations on the phone or whatever. But I also pray that we would be mindful that those around us who don't have that confidence, that they need to hear about the Lord. They need to hear. I will guarantee you today, right now, there will be some people, because of this pandemic, there will be some people that for the first time they begin to realize just how vulnerable and fragile their life really is. That all it would really take is some kind of bug or something like that. That humanity as a whole could be threatened in such a way. And they begin to question, what about my life? What's it really been about? And they need to hear the gospel. They need to have a hope and a peace of something that goes beyond the immediate, beyond this life and beyond this world. That's where Jesus comes in. We need to be willing and ready to share that hope. Amen, church. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that no matter what we face, you are with us and you always give us confidence to know that you are in control. Lord, we do pray for those leaders and officials, Lord, who are working diligently, Lord, to figure out the best path for us as a people and, Lord, people around the globe. But God, we don't have to walk in fear. Yes, we should use good common sense and those things, but God, we should not be fearful because we are your child. You have given us a spirit of adoption and welcoming into the family of God, not a spirit of fear. And so we thank you for that. But Lord, there may be some here today, or there may be some that we're thinking about this morning that don't have that confidence. And today needs to be a day of salvation. Today needs to be a day whenever they realize, because you were crucified on that cross, because you were laid in that tomb, because you arose from the grave, and you did all those things, Lord, for our sin, to take our place. And that you're calling for lost sinners today to simply call out to you, acknowledging that their sin has separated them from you, believing in you, Lord Jesus, not just with a head knowledge, but with a heartfelt conviction, transformed by that belief and by that faith, and confessing you as Lord and as Savior, turning away from sin and embracing righteousness. Lord, today might need to be a day of salvation. Maybe someone in this room needs to be saved. Lord, would you touch to that heart? Would you speak to that heart? Would you draw them close to your side? And just let them pray right now, right where they're sitting, Lord, those things. God, I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you, but I believe in Jesus. I believe in all that he's done, and I'm accepting that gift of salvation through faith. Now, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior, and give me eternal life, and I'll give you my life. Lord, it's just that simple. Just that simple. Lord, you be glorified. Right here, right now, I ask it in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me?